Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Culture.
Hi guys, welcome to a new winter, Cults and Culture, and today we're going to do another three hits and a shit, and as always I'm here with Dan. Hi Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, and how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Do you notice anything different about me?
You've had a haircut.
To go along with the gender transplant.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, you're a woman now. No, Dan's upgraded his audio.
Yeah.
Experience.
Do I sound, I don't know, clearer, sexier, more professional, perhaps?
Yeah. Get the full range of your dynamic voice.
So today I shot my first YouTube video for the planned Dreadful Discs YouTube
series. Did you really?
Series. So it's all happening now that I've got my Blue Yeti.
What was that about then? What was the episode on?
It was on an unboxing of a shipment of records I got from Australia, and then specifically spoke about one of them.
Right.
But I'll come to that later. What have you been up to?
Well, the reason why we haven't put an episode in a while is because I was in Menorca on holiday, and I've had a lovely time out there. It was all very sunny and nice, and with the kids and the family. On the way back.
There was an accident, you said.
There was an accident on the plane, yeah.
Did you do a shit?
Turn the plane around.
I can't imagine that.
Like everyone's
Putting that out on the on the messaging.
Yeah.
I'm afraid the gas in the cabin is too excessive for us to fly.
And those oxygen masks just full, like nothing's happening. The plane's not like rumbling in turbulence, just the oxygen masks like come down. No, it was actually, you know, slightly serious. So what happened was we were, you know, sitting on the plane, whatever, fine. And as it was, you know, as you hear the engine start to rev up, I could see like some kid was kind of like a few rows ahead, was standing up, like looking the other way and crying and getting all upset and whatever. And then I looked around at Edie to make sure she was all right. And then apparently The dad, during that time where I had my head turned, the dad of that other kid had got up and swapped seats. Now, bear in mind, it's like gearing up. You know what happens like when a plane gears up? There's like a couple of seconds really until it starts going, you know, down the runway. And the air stewardess by this point had got up to tell him to go sit down and whatever. And I'm looking out the window at Edie. All of a sudden, I feel like something gets my shoulder and my knee. I'm like, the fuck is that? Because I'm sitting at the end of the row in the middle, next to the aisle. And she's gone. Fuck. I look around and she, because by that point, the plane is now at like a whatever 45 degree angle. So it's going up. She's launched back and she's smashed her head against the back of the plane. She's just like a missile just hit the back.
Shit, really?
Yeah, so, and she's out. She's out cold. So we're still going up and everyone's like freaking out, like, you know, fuck, is she all right? But obviously no one is going to get up, or can get up, really, because, you know, you're supposed to, one, have your seatbelt on, two, you're at that angle because you're getting that initial, you know, at speed and G-force up and whatever. So we're trying to, like, get the attention. Anyway, we're up in the air. We're flying over the ocean. And finally, the other air stewardess has come back, and she's still out cold. And they're like, yeah, we have to turn the plane around. So they turn the plane around, and all the paramedics come on board. They take her out, and they take her to the hospital. And she'd sat up by that point, so I imagine she was a bit more with it. And then we were just sitting in the plane for ages, and they were like, yeah, flight's cancelled. Like, we haven't got anyone here to replace her, and all of us have... we'll be going over the legal working hours. So, yeah, time. Sorry, we're going to have to, you know, put you up for the night. And it was literally like pandemonium, because there were so many families, and obviously everyone, and by this point it was getting late, so everyone wanted to, like, make sure they were okay and, you know, had somewhere to sleep and, you know, make sure the kids were right, and to have, like, travel cots and things like that. And luckily we were kind of, like, on it as much as possible. And, yeah, they booked a flight for 10 a.m. the next morning and sent us to some shitty resort like an hour away. But we're like, whatever, just go to sleep. And actually, it was okay. Like, the place that we slept was fine and the kids were fine.
Yeah.
So that was all right. And then, the next morning on the coach over, because it's about a 45-minute drive on this coach, Adeline, my youngest, who's one, threw up all over Tess, like proper, my wife, proper chucked up, like tons of it. So we're trying to, like, clear all that up. I'm just like, oh, this is fucking great. Then we had to get to the airport and then sort them out. And then the flight was delayed again, only for like half an hour. But, you know, you're just like, oh, I just want to get home. And the rest of it's boring. The rest of it was fine. And apparently the woman was fine. She just got knocked out and she was discharged or whatever. Discharged.
Let that be a lesson to people, because that's obviously what they, like, try and warn you against.
Yeah.
But you just, I don't know, you just think it doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, we
never
were
seen
saying
anything like that happen before.
No, I mean, we were saying how it, like, surely as an air stewardess, even if that's happening, you don't get up. But I think she just thought she might have time to get there and back to her seat before it goes up in the air, because it's like, just wait until you have that initial. That's the thing, like, you're going at that speed and then kicking off. That's going to.
Yeah.
Throw you down. I mean, I don't know what the protocol is for something like that. But I think as well, it's because the mum had a baby. Anyway, this fucking guy was just getting evils the whole time. Like, and it was all like the same flight. It's the same people, obviously, on the, as in the same customers on the flight in the morning as well. And everyone was just like staring daggers at him. What a dick. But apart from that, it was fine. But yeah, it just meant that, you know, we lost a day, basically, which is a bit annoying, because I was going to do more podcast stuff. I'm doing for the Patreon thing, I'm going to do an exclusive Tron episode, and wanted to get that done and put up, but I haven't had time to do that. So yeah, keep on the lookout for that.
People just gonna have to wait.
Damn you.
While you're dealing with all that drama, I've been deep in the back catalogue of the Bee Gees, reveling in their historic works. I spent the weekend transferring some old videotapes for my 92-year-old great aunt onto DVD before they're cast into a landfill, probably. Not a band I'd ever really been overly exposed to beyond the core hits, classics.
I was going to say, was there any, like, standout tracks that you hadn't heard before? You're like, you know, not one of the hits, where you're like, oh, this is actually... Well, Dan, did you know that it was probably, I was thinking, it was probably about 10 years ago, actually, when I think about it, that I was asked to front a Bee Gees support band. Who's the main guy? Who's the front main guy?
Barry Gibb.
Barry Gibb, right? The real high-pitched singing one, right? Yeah, I was asked to be him in... I just got a contact on my... I think it was MySpace, so we really are going back a bit. So it might have even been later than 10 years. On the Pistol Gang page. Said, heard your stuff and whatever, and we liked your look. I can't remember what it was. And that's what I remember, whatever it was, like, sticking out in my head, because I was like, I look like him. Like, what? You like my look? That is like Barry Gibb, apparently.
So they wanted you Hang on, they wanted you in the Bee Gees to replace Barry Gibb.
No. This apparently, I went on, I Googled them. I can't remember their name now. It's so long ago, but I Googled them, and it's the classic thing of like one of the top BG, not support acts, tribute acts of all time. And like, you know, when it's like sensational from start to finish, says Southend Echo, Kent Times or something like that. And it was all that kind of stuff. And
what were they called?
I can't remember.
The BJs.
Yeah, something like that. Like it was some pun on the name. And yeah, so I wrote back going, I'm not that interested. I don't really know many of their songs, but yeah, like what kind of, what's the money situation? Just basically being like, is this a well-paying gig? Yeah. But also I remember looking at the pictures and the other guys were like the age of the Bee Gees or whatever. They were like mid-40s probably or whatever at that point, which is, you know, doing the Bee Gees a favour by saying they're that age. But and I remember thinking, I would look really young. Like, it would be me and like my two dads or something behind me when we're supposed to be brothers. So yeah, I never went for it, but
could have been good.
Yeah,
shame.
Who knows?
I bet you regret that now, of course.
Of course. I don't. There was something. There's part of me, and even at the time, I was like, you know, I'll just flirt with the idea of it because I can sing that high if I really want to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've heard you. You could, I reckon you could outdo them. Honestly, some of these performances I was watching with the Bee Gees, like in the late 90s, so ropey. They're trying to hit those high notes, but they've just got like no power in their voice. Oh, so it's coming out like a rather.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Embarrassing, embarrassing. Great songwriters, though.
Really?
Mm.
I mean, like, I remember watching, and I think it was researching for that, actually. Like the other Bee Gees songs and whatever, and thinking,
yeah,
there's some like real, don't know what the word for it is, like epic kind of like ballads, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
In there.
Yeah, and they wrote a lot of songs for other people, and then so you don't quite realise maybe like how huge their catalogue of hits is.
It's one of those things.
There'd have been a lot there.
Yeah,
there's a lot there for you to explore yeah, and perform.
I know. I should, maybe that's something we could do. Just do a Bee Gees special. Go over a Bee Gees album.
I thought you meant do a Bee Gees tribute pad.
So much
Sammy
effort.
Gibb.
Especially now, like, I'm massive now compared to what I was then. I'd be like Elvis on like his last performance, like in this fucking tight white fucking play suit or whatever he had. All the way down to like my stomach with my like moves hanging out. I'm not that bad, but that's what I feel like.
Well, I think that sounds absolutely sensational. We could take it to all of the popular British seaside resorts and sell out.
Yeah, well, let's see how well it did for this other band and yeah, go from there. So
there's got to be more money in it than there is in this.
Yeah, more money. Does anyone even like, I think that, you know, the Bee Gees audience is kind of drifting away into like the Deathsville, if you know what I mean. There's not really a continuing ask for them as such until someone does like Queen or Elton John movie biopic on the Bee Gees, and then it will suddenly be all the rage again.
Yeah, well, my great aunt's still really into it, so
well, she can
Bournemouth,
come.
That's where it's happening.
If it sounds right, that sounds right.
Anyway, I don't know about you, but I haven't picked any Bee Gees songs this week.
No, neither have I. What a surprise. And I wouldn't know if it was a hit or a shit. And people don't know, what we do is we select three hits and a shit. So three tracks we like and a track that we hate for the other person who has not heard them. And then we discuss it afterwards. So it can be old tracks, new tracks, weird tracks, whatever the hell we want. A real smorgasbord of stuff. So
yum, yum.
Yeah. So Dan.
Except for the shitty bit. Ugh.
Except for the shitty bit. But then someone's
no one,
shit.
No one wants to.
It's another
find
man's
some shit
ice cream.
On. You don't want that on your smorgasbord.
Pile of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, waiter. Yeah, thank you for this. Just wondering, what is this bit in the corner? Sir, that is the shit freshly prepared this morning by our chef. He does the best shits in the house. You try it. You tell me if you like. Yeah.
I feel so embarrassed. I'd be like obliged to eat it. In case of causing offence.
Thanks.
I'm a yummer.
That shit really was shit. Compliments to the asshole.
Are you still going to do the Spotify playlist for people to listen along? Because we don't actually play the songs, do we?
Yeah, so if you go to Instagram page of A New Winter, which is at A New Winter, there's a link there, or you can just type it into Spotify, three hits and a shit, and we've got a little star as an I, A New Winter, Cults and Culture. Even if you type that in, it'll come up, and it's a playlist where I've just put on all the songs that we talk about each episode. So, yeah, go and take a look and you can have a list of all the songs. And basically, it's obviously if they're only on Spotify. So if they're not, then you have to Google them yourself. There's a certain tonal consistency throughout my songs today, I think. But yeah, go ahead. This is my number one for Dan. Here we go. So,
that was really good. Like, good song to kick off the show, I think. It's that like mysterious, hazy, kind of dramatic music that I associate quite strongly with you.
Yeah.
Is there a name for this genre? It's always just like shoegazy indie pop.
I don't actually know, but yeah, that sounds right.
It made me think of... So I finally got around this week to watching the recent Twin Peaks. I watched the first four episodes.
Yes.
I was just imagining this band on stage playing at the end of one of those episodes.
Yeah, so that it's very apt.
It's got that vibe.
Do you know who it is?
No.
So they're a band called... The Twilight Sad, Scottish band, which you probably heard through their singing. And it's called Last January. And I heard, this was the first song I heard off that album, which I think was a few years old now. And I don't know why, but I was just like, that like weird guitar play, like that guitar chord essentially, and then that weird ghostly synth bit.
Yeah.
Just that coming together, I was just like, I don't know why, I was like mesmerized by it. And every time, and when it finished, I was like, I've got to listen to it again. Like that was, I loved it. And I don't, you know, it just really resonated for some reason. The idea that you're too old, or to care for your own or whatever, and all that. It's just like there's that real sadness to it. And all their songs are kind of tinged with that. You know, sadness as such. But I went to see them live and like the guy was like crying.
Oh my God.
In between songs. He said at the time, I can't remember where it was. It's in like the Scala or something like that in London. I think he said that it was the biggest gig that they'd done at that point or whatever. But he was just like crying on stage, which is fine. And I quite like it's their whole sound is, you know, very melodramatic, emotional. Anyway. Yeah.
Was he just overwhelmed by the response?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. And I can understand that. Like, you know, want to kind of put your heart on your sleeve a little bit and people are kind of, you know, giving it back to you as such. It was a real, like, emotion. Like, afterwards, I was like, I felt, you know, usually you feel like physically
sick,
exhausted or whatever. Yeah, sick. But with that one, I was like emotionally like exhausted. I came out thinking like, that was heavy. Like,
did you cry?
It was good and it was jubilant. I didn't cry, but like when I saw him crying, I was like, man, that, you know, it's getting me on the way. It's having a good cry.
Have you ever cried on stage?
No.
No?
Out of frustration, I've been close. when we played in Epsom and the whole amp situation and the fact that I couldn't even, we're in this gazebo. And so like, and the top of the gazebo was like in front of my face and the stage didn't go in front of it. So I was like, having to kind of like poke my head out or whatever to see anyone.
I can quietly shed a tear without anyone noticing.
A pearly penis tear. No one would know. So yeah, what do you think? Did you like it? Is it not really for you? I know it's a classic kind of Sam track.
I really liked it. I'm just looking. I've got some of their stuff on my computer here. I think I've heard bits and pieces, but I've never sat down and listened to a whole album. I think you asked me to one of those gigs, Twilight Sad, once. You had to buy a ticket or something, and I couldn't go. So that's a shame. Maybe it was that show where he cried.
It might have been that show. I think I've seen them twice, but I think I've only been to one of their, where they're headlining, if you know what I mean. Mm. So it's probably that. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I'm going to give your first track a listen now. Anything I should know before I start?
No, only that actually I've only heard it once. So this is going to be interesting for me as well. So, what were your initial impressions?
Well, that was dirty. I would say it is like the previous song was very much me. I would think this is very much Dan. Yeah. It's a Dan hit. I've no idea who it was. I did like it. There was part of me that was like, it's a little long. It's a little bloated. Like, I'm kind of getting it, you know. And it's kind of that same riff again and again, which is fine. But I was like, yeah, trim like a minute off it and I'd be a bit more inclined to like listen to it again. And maybe that's just me being, you know, living in 2019. But yeah, it was quite dirty and raw in a good way and a bit weird as well. But it's not something I would probably go out of my way to listen to, especially for the fact that it is that little bit longer than I would have liked it to have been. But I didn't dislike it. I thought it was all right.
Cool. Dirty and weird. That's me all over, really. I think I was thinking to myself while I was listening to this, like, oh, it's going on a bit. Although, in the context of an album listening experience, I think that's part of the appeal.
Right.
And for me, like for a lot of this music, is some of that repetitive, just like grinding something into you. Yeah, I really like that riff. So this song is called Dot, Dot, Dot by the band Hepatitis.
Nope, don't know.
And it's from their album that just came out a few weeks ago, which I bought on LP, called Blue Fat Pussy. Hepatitis they're a band that I really like, and I try to pick up most of their new releases.
Are they new? I know you said this album's new, but are they a new band?
They've been around for maybe like 6 years or something.
Okay.
And it's Kevin, who was the bassist in Cows and then was in the Melvins. So that's why I'm kind of into them. There's that Melvins connection. And I just think what he's doing in this band, so it's him, another guy, and the drummer from Kui. But on that track, you've got Dale Crover as a guest drummer.
Oh, really?
Our man Dale, yeah.
Relevant. To the fact that we just did an episode on Nirvana's Bleach album, by the way, where Dale played some of the drums, for the people who don't know.
Yeah, he always pops up like in my catalogue. Yeah, I think what he's doing is a lot more to me, like this, a lot more interesting than, you know, what the Melvins have been doing themselves for the last 15 and definitely last 10 years. Because, I've been listening to a lot of Hepatitis, and then another ex-Melvins bassist, Mark D. His stuff's really good and interesting in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back and like the Melvins themselves have done two solo albums, which were really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the Melvins releases over the last few years have been really disappointing. So I don't know if there are other like people who like the Melvins. I always say to them, like, if you're not into what they've been doing recently, you should check out Hepatitis.
Interesting.
That's probably one of the more accessible tracks, I'd say. Sometimes it gets really weird.
Ooh. That sounds horrible. Okay, nice one. That's a good little tip for any Melvins fans out there as well. So we will move on to my number two.
And, oh no, not that again. We already discussed that at the top of the show.
It's made its way all the way from Menorca, and I've got it here in a plastic bag. Damn it, I left the top open. Oh, it's gone everywhere.
No.
It's gone over the,
are we gonna...
the chocolate that I bought for my mum, and now I can't distinguish what's what.
They were going to put that in a museum as well. The number two that stopped transatlantic flight.
Yeah. Worse than the French strike. In traffic management or whatever.
Should we listen to your second song?
Second song. Here we go.
Mm.
But before we do, let's take a quick break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So what do you think?
It was very shimmery and glittery and dreamy and mysterious. And again, it could have been an episode of Twin Peaks. It was nice. There wasn't as much going on as in the first song. But it obviously was shorter, so it kind of like didn't outstay its welcome. I don't know. It kind of passed over me a little bit. I think I'd have to listen to it a few more times to really maybe get like the emotional hook of the song.
Kind of like what I was saying at the top of the episode. It's kind of a tonal thing. So it's by, they're called Black Marble, and I believe it's just two blokes basically from New York, and it's called Woods, I think it's called, and it's from the album It's Immaterial. The whole album is very much like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that part of, you know, like how early Aerial Pink, it's a little bit like that, where it's a bit dreamy, it's a bit lo-fi, and I quite like that, you know, subgenre of like electronic music.
Yeah.
Quite recently, I went on a bit of a rabbit, you know, down a rabbit hole with trying to find some like new stuff to listen to. And I came across this and I was just like, it just, yeah, it just, as you said, kind of like washed over me a bit, and I just quite enjoyed it. And it reminded me, this is going to sound a bit lame, it reminded me of
the Bee Gees.
There was basically a phase in the Bee Gees. There was basically a phase where I was going around America for work and whatever, and I was in like California or whatever, and New York and all these spots, and I was getting deep into things like Vondelpark and Washed Out and whatever, which has a very specific sound. And it reminds me of that. So when I listen to it, it kind of takes me back to those times. So there's kind of a nostalgic appeal for me to it, which is why I like it. But I think generally coming into it, it's quite inoffensive and just quite nice to listen to. But there's no, as you said, there's no real like hook. It's not saying something or anything like that. And the whole album's a bit like that as well. And it's one of those albums which you listen to from beginning and end and you'll think that was nice, and you might put it back on again. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to have in the background if you're having like a little party or gathering where you just want a bit more of a chill vibe.
Yeah.
And still appear slightly cool. Because they're still relatively unknown. I mean, this was from 2016, I think, the album is. You know, it's a fairly recent. I think they just released a new album recently, or maybe they've got one coming up. But yeah, so if you like that, I would, you know, all that kind of music, I would recommend checking them out.
It sounds like, you know, you're saying you were listening to it, it reminds you of the States. It's kind of like late night driving music as well, I think.
Yes, exactly.
And it's very, to me then, it's quite American in a way, because you get a lot of that kind of like born out of these like huge distances that you have to cover when you're driving. It's just that, you know, like you can imagine the light shimmering through the rain on the windscreen kind of music.
Yeah, and it's and not sounding like a dick too much, but I had a lot of that. And it's an American radio music, you know, even though I was kind of listening to my own stuff. But generally speaking, like, you listen to some great stuff on American radio. Like, not only do they have like, I mean, you probably know this already, not only do they have like stations dedicated to just bands, like a Pearl Jam station.
Oh, right.
And all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they have ones dedicated to like genres, obviously, subgenres. And, but they don't just play, you know, it's just compared to our radio over here, it's just so much better. But also, they just don't play the hits. They'll play like tracks off the album that you might not have heard and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're driving around and you're like, oh, listening to like a rock station, even if it's like heavy rock or metal or whatever, you're still kind of listening to it because you're thinking, yeah, they're playing stuff that I probably wouldn't have heard before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so safe, our broadcasting in this country. It probably used to be really cool, you know, before they got rid of all the pirate stations. Now it's all
yeah,
just
but
like,
people could do it now if they wanted to, but it's just, it's no real appeal for it, is there? People aren't that bothered.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know, we could get into a bigger debate about the state of the music industry, especially over here. It's the fact that, you know, we had the MTV Video Awards the other day. Got no idea who won. No one cares. Don't know any of the artists anyway. But now, like, I'm so out. It was one of those things where you were in the loop whether you liked it or not because it was everywhere.
Yeah.
But now I'm just so out the loop with stuff like that. And it doesn't interest me at all.
We are old, though.
And also, we're old.
Kind of happens.
We, you know, we remember, you know, we were alive when MTV started.
Yeah. I remember the first band on MTV, Bay City Rollers.
Was it?
No.
Oh. I know, it's Video Killed the Radio Star, wasn't it?
Yeah. Back then, we used to watch MTV in black and white in front of a roaring fire and watch Daniel O'Donnell and a skiffle band.
I want to say Video Killed the Radio Star. Is that, I think Hans Zimmer was part of that band.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's not, it sounds cool though. I like it.
Wasn't it awesome. Someone famous who was in Video Killed or played on that song?
The Buggles.
Is that the band who sang it?
Yeah, The Buggles. Trevor Horn is probably the big dude.
Right.
He's the big producer dude now, isn't he?
Yeah, Hans Zimmer was in The Buggles.
What? No, he wasn't.
Hans Zimmer... can be briefly seen wearing black playing a keyboard.
But that's news to me. That's blown my mind.
So, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to play your number two track now.
Lovely.
Let's listen.
So, you know that smorgasbord you were talking about earlier? Imagine some bread on that smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Should we break it in an act of friendship?
What, and smother it with the shit that's been placed directly next to it, which is this song?
Yeah.
God. It's so, like, it's funny because you kind of chose a weird 80s thing. That was your hit, wasn't it, last week? So I'm like... hair metal, and that wasn't 80s either. I said last week, the last episode of this that we did, and this is in that same vein where I'm just like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't like it, I don't get it, I don't want it. Nothing. Who was it?
That was the Melvins from their
fuck off
from their 2018 album, Pincus Abortion Technician.
What?
So, yeah, just to highlight the point I was making earlier, I threw this out there.
That is dire.
I don't know what they're doing. I just don't get it. So, Pincus Abortion Technician, just to be clear, it's a proper full studio album. But a lot of the songs, well, there's two Butthole Surfers covers on there. And then a lot of the other songs are written by their occasional bassist, Jeff Pincus, who was in the Butthole Surfers. So it's kind of like they went, you can just do your own thing for this album. But why they've done that, I don't know. It's like they've got to a point where they're so comfortable, like, you know, they release a lot of stuff all the time and they know that what they're going to do will sell and there's an audience. And it's like quality control's just gone out the window.
Mate, it's really bad.
Yeah.
That's... like, I don't even know what to say. Like, the whole point of bands like the Melvins was to get rid of music like that.
That's depressing.
It's like, what are they doing? Are they doing it ironically?
No. Well, when you listen to that, you're like, this has got to be tongue-in-cheek. And maybe it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's so much of that kind of stuff on the album and some other releases recently as well that I don't think so.
Oh, that's tragic. That's really, like, made me feel weird. So I was watching, watching some YouTube videos a little while ago with, like, Buzz did, like, a little solo tour, didn't he, of his acoustic stuff or something?
Yeah.
And I watched some of that, and then I just kind of went down a little bit of a YouTube rabbit hole again and watching some other bits and pieces. And also because I know that, you know, you like them a lot. And I was like, yeah, you know, some interesting stuff here, and I quite like... Buzz anyway, like, as a character / person.
Yeah.
So yeah, hearing this just makes me think, oh, I don't know, it's like not computing in my head.
Yeah, it's weird because back in the day as well, when they were releasing stuff that I really liked, like, for me, like, High Watermark for them was Hostile Ambient Takeover in 2001, Pigs of the Roman Empire 2002, and I remember him saying stuff like, because back then, like the kind of like more pure metal guys that got into them probably in the 90s were like, oh, this is terrible, too weird, experimental. And he was kind of like, we know what we're doing, we're professionals and we're very good, so just kind of like stop questioning it and come along with
us.
Yeah,
get on board with it. Yeah.
And I've had him kind of like say the same thing over the last few years about the material they're doing now, and it's kind of like, I don't know what's going on. I don't believe you anymore.
Yeah, I don't, that's weird. Well, all right, well, that's something to think about.
Sorry to sorry to put everyone
out. It's not your shit then, is it your shit?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. So just because it might be Melvin's, you might automatically get a free pass or something.
Default position on the Melvin's. No, that, they ain't get away with that.
Well, it's interesting, Dan, because something's coming up for your number three song.
Mm.
So have a listen.
Okay, cool.
You say, can we still be friends? Scared, I would. If I was born, you know that I would. And if I was yours, but I'm not. All the kids have always known that the end.
Wow. Oh, I don't know what to think about that. That's confusing.
Well, firstly, do you recognise the song?
No.
Okay, well, the song is Arcade Fire, Ready to Start.
Huh.
That's the... But this is a cover of that song.
So that's definitely Roland singing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And well, you've dated it, so it's definitely like Tears for Fears.
Yeah, Tears for Fears covering... They were, I don't know if you vaguely remember, but they went through a period fairly recently where they just got back together or whatever, where they were just covering different kind of indie hits, as it were. And this is one of them, Ready to Start.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, tell me your thoughts on what you just heard.
I really liked it when it began with the kind of like strings and then like that little kind of like pong sounding beat. And then Roland's voice, I was like, yes. Although then it was like a little bit over-processed. And then I was kind of like, oh, this could be really good. This has kind of got a nice classic Tears for Fears vibe. I didn't pick up on the Arcade Fire link. I was just thinking, oh, this is a Roland-written song. And then it kind of went into that. It was almost like a modern take on 80s music. So rather than like, oh, I'm going to do some really good 80s Tears for Fears type production, it was like, I'm just going to do what everyone else is doing to make it sound like it's the 80s, which I was like, oh, I don't think that sounds that good. And then that really fast beat came in and I was like, oh, no, didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it went back. There was that cool little kind of like bridging part. And then it went back to those strings again. And then I was like, yeah, actually, I do like this.
Interesting, because yeah, when I like Arcade Fire.
Yeah, likewise.
And I like this song as well. And I'm just thinking, and there's always part of me which is just like, sometimes, you know, you can take a good song and you hear it done by someone else and it sounds a bit shit, and you realise there's an element. I mean, this is pretty obvious, but where like the artist is kind of bringing something to it, and this is one of those things where I'm like, why they've chosen a good Arcade Fire song and they've done their own take on it and not added anything to it whatsoever. Like, it's not, as you said, like with that weird like drum and bass backing track, it's like, well, that's dated already. Like,
yeah, that was blah.
No one uses stuff like that. It's like when, you know, David Bowie did Heathen or whatever.
Oh god.
A Little Wonder and all that.
Earthling,
sorry.
Yeah.
And when Roland, because it's Kurt singing, I think, and then when Roland comes in with the it's real like crooning, like an old man that's trying to get up.
I thought it was Roland throughout, to be honest.
I mean, it might have been. I thought it was Kurt and then Roland doing that chorus bit. And I was like, what are they doing? Like, how can they have taken a song which is like pretty great to begin with, and then they've just made it sound really like thin and awful, and taken all the like the bits which give it that, you know, punch as a song, and just stripped it completely and done something really weird with it.
You've revealed your hands, because I was thinking, what do I think of this? And then I was kind of thinking, yeah, what would Sam think of it? I thought you won't be in favour of this.
You'd be correct. You'd be correct in assuming this is my shit.
Have you heard Tears for Fears' version of Ashes to Ashes?
I don't think so. That might be my favourite David Bowie song as well.
That's another one where it's just they've added. I mean, it's almost like a complete note for note recreation. I mean, to the point, it's not bad, but it just sounds like the original, and you kind of think, what was the point?
Yeah, that's just it. It's just like, just stick the original compositions, please. But that's what I mean when you take a band like Tears for Fears, which are known for these big epic sounds, then you hear something like this, which is an epic song done, you know, not epically. It's like, well, I don't understand how that can happen.
He's trying to be, you know, he's come back and he's trying to co-opt some of those modern sounds of the Kiss. Yes.
Well, that's just it. I think it's an experimental thing. Like, let's take a new track and do something with it and just see how it goes, which is fine. But I remember when I heard that and these other ones that were popping up, and I was just like, ugh.
Be confident in your abilities, Tears for Fears. We want your we want your songs and your sound. Jesus.
Exactly. But do we? I don't know. Yeah. We just want your old songs. Yeah, so as you're rightly regarded, that was my shit.
Pooey.
Yeah,
sorry. On to the next.
On to the next. Here we go. Dan, this is your number 3, I believe, then.
Numero 3-o.
Let's listen. Yeah, I loved that. That was really good.
Hey!
It reminded me of Electrolane. I don't know if you heard of or remember or anything.
Again, they're one of those ones where I've got some stuff on my computer and I don't think I've quite engaged with it.
Yeah, so they did, I think the album was called The Power Out. And it was probably my favourite album of that year. And it's an all-girl band, British. And it's quite like intellectual rock, as it were. And they've got some absolutely fucking cracking tracks on that. I might do it for another one, but it's a similar sound as that.
Well, I'm just reading something here, and I think there is an Electrolane link to this band. Nice, nice spot. They're called Trash Kit.
Okay,
you heard of them?
Nope.
I saw them. I went and saw Deerhoof last week in Hackney, and they were the support band.
Oh, really?
And I just really loved everything about their set. It was a real breath of fresh air. I was feeling really ill as well, and they came on, and it was really uplifting. Definitely, like, made me feel a bit more compos mentis.
Really got you in the mood.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't quite cure all ills, but I wasn't expecting it, and it was really upbeat and nice. It was really celebratory. It was like joy, kind of like rolling off the stage. And everyone around me was really into it. I think, and live, I don't think it quite comes across on this song, maybe. And I kind of like, I haven't quite really listened to the album properly. So I just kind of picked one that sounded kind of good. That's called Every Second. But I was just really impressed. And like, the drummer's amazing. Very like expressive drumming. Switching up styles, you know, some quite complex, kind of like weird, kind of like African rhythms in there, and just really like creative, and just it felt like she was into it, and like it's all flowing out, really engaging as well. Like the front woman, and it was just a lot of fun. And just, I don't think I've seen a support band that I liked that much in years.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check them out because, yeah, I absolutely loved Electrolane. They did the album after The Power Out. It was one of those ones where it was like, this is okay. It's not rocking my world as much as the last one. I think, yeah, it was called Axes, their last album.
Uh-huh.
Actually, sorry, it wasn't their last album. It was the album after The Power Out. And I was like, there's a couple of songs which are pretty good. And then, yeah, they did another one, which is called No Shouts, No Calls. That wasn't very good. It kind of took a bit of a tumble. And that was just looking, yeah, that's like 10 years ago. And then they reformed about 7 years ago. And I think that was it. But really, really, really great band. And it's a bit more depressing, I would say, than the track you played.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know, you're saying it's more uplifting and there's an element of joy to it. Because Electrolane always felt there was that tinge of sadness, or like, you know, some of it was a bit more up, but it sounds like they've taken an interesting turn with that.
I think,
I really liked it.
I think the original lineup had a member of Electrolane in, but she has left.
Right.
So maybe maybe she was like dragging around a big bag of bad feelings with her.
Yeah. It's good though. I, you know, if you like that sound, just I'd recommend checking The Power Out anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, sit through it. I mean, you can sit through the other stuff, but that album is like, you know, from beginning to end, it's like, that was great. And yeah, I'll make sure to check these guys out as well. What are they called? Trash Can.
Trash Kit. And that's from their album that just came out in July called Horizon.
Mm. Nice, have to have a look. Right, Dan, so now we get to the last track of our selection. And this is my number 4. So let's have a listen.
Everyone, everywhere. I feel like that should just be the end now of the show.
Not for your life. That was Grupa, which I believe is just one woman. She's apparently collaborated with Zhuzhu. I don't even know how you say it. XIUXIU, who I've heard a few times before, who are like a bit experimental.
Zhuzhu.
Yeah. And have done some good stuff. So she's linked to them. But again, this was kind of like she just popped up as I was searching the world for stuff to listen to. And the track's called I'm Clean Now.
I'm not familiar with it. It's the first time I've heard it. I've actually got quite a lot of Grupa stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like it. But obviously it's the kind of music where I kind of forget every now and then if I've heard something before. Some of the albums are a bit samey. The one that I've listened to the most that I really like is Dragging a Dead Deer Up a Hill.
Yeah. So I think that's the most kind of famous stuff that she's done.
But yeah, I've been meaning to kind of like, yeah, catch up because I've seen some stuff's come out the last few years and I haven't really gotten around to it. And
yeah.
She's performed in London a few times and I've been like, oh, should go. And hasn't quite happened.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, this is, I'd probably go to that. This is from a 2016 album, Paradise Valley, apparently, which I haven't listened to. I've only really heard this one track and I just always really like it. So I should take a bit of a dive myself as well. But yeah, find it very relaxing and calm and nice.
Beautiful.
So yeah, you can kind of see there's like a tonal consistency a little bit through my selection today.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. We should have just done your 4 and then my 4, because my 4 have completely disrupted the flow of whatever you were going for. I've gone, like, quite heavy, and we're about to, like, end the show now with, like, some crushing thrash metal.
Don't ruin it.
Oh. Oops.
Okay, well, let's have a listen anyway. So this is your track number 4. And I'm getting ready to be thrashed in the face with a big hard dick of metal.
So, that was Mars for the Rich by...
Ooh.
Who do you think?
I honestly don't know.
I'll tell you in a minute. Did you like it? What did you think?
I didn't mind it. Did I like it? I'm still not quite sure. I think as far as listening, I think I did like it, actually. Like, there's when I look back at some of the bands that... it's a bit of a lame comparison, but like the Datsuns or Wolf Mother, which try and kind of get this like Led Zeppelin kind of sound. And not that this sounds like Led Zeppelin at all, but I do like it when it's just like, this is out and out rock, just rock stuff.
Yeah.
And this song is kind of very much like that, like a very, you know, it's, if you play, like, what's a typical like rock song? You'd play something like this, maybe.
Yeah.
So I do like it in that sense. In terms of that kind of sound, I would say this is quite catchy, really. I quite like the guitar riff. And weirdly, I like the vocals as well, which I didn't think I would when I first heard them. And I was like, actually, I do quite like it. It fits it quite nicely. And I can imagine that it'd be quite a, you know, live-wise, it'd be quite a rocking song. And it feels quite big. But yeah, so I think I did quite like it. I mean, it's not one of the it's not a song that I would, yeah, go out of my way to listen to again, maybe. But it does like pique my interest.
Cool. That's really interesting because I was having some of those thoughts myself when I first heard this. And I wasn't quite sure. So it's a song by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard from their new album that came out a couple of weeks ago, Infest the Rat's Nest.
Okay.
Which, to all intents and purposes, is their kind of thrash metal album.
Oh, really?
Do you know the band very well?
I only really know them because Rich, our mutual friend Rich, kept banging on about them to me.
I did
at the same time as at the same time as you were talking about them as well, and I did listen to them a bit, and I was like, yeah, I can kind of see the appeal of this, but I was like, I need to give this like a proper, you know, listen, and I never really did, and it kind of fell off the radar a little bit. But I remember thinking, you know, yeah, I quite like this, but I think I just need to kind of, you know, get into it properly rather than just as I'm walking through London or whatever. Trying to listen to it.
And I don't think this is the album for that, if that's the case. But I've become a bit of a Gizhead, so I've got really quite into them. And all of their albums, like, basically this started as like a kind of like psyche kind of garage rock band. And over the course of their 15 albums, they've explored basically kind of like every facet you can think of like kind of like 70s rock. So, and folk. So there's like, you know, like a folky kind of album. There's a like a jazz fusion kind of album. They've done like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've done like a country... Not country. It was like a kind of like spoken word, narrative, Western album. They've tackled everything. And you're kind of like, where can they go with this? They just kind of need to do an album as themselves at some point. But yeah, this is like a whole album of kind of that. That's one of the slower songs. There's some really fast stuff. But it's interesting... then that you've kind of listened to that as I did and kind of went, it's not actually that like extreme. It's not really thrash metal. It's, I mean, that to me, I was like, it sounds kind of like Motorhead or something.
Yeah.
Or like you, like when you just said like Led Zeppelin, actually this comes quite like mainstream 70s kind of sounding, like just heavy rock riffs. The vocals, initially I was a bit, you know, like, because he doesn't normally sing like that. So they've really gone like, whole hog here. But yeah, I'm warming to them. But yeah, so that's...
Yeah, I have to check them out more because, yeah, that's... I didn't realise they'd done so much.
Yeah, 15 albums. Well, because they put 5 albums out in 2017.
Fucking hell.
But this was basically one of the records that I got in my package. So I thought I'll do an unboxing. And then I spoke about the new album. So if there's any King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard fans listening... yeah, that's going to be the first episode of my YouTube Dreadful Discs show.
Great. When do you think you'll finish putting that together?
Hopefully it'll be up, like, this week.
Okay. So, yeah, by the time I edit this, it might already be out. So, yeah, send a link and I'll stick it in the show notes for people.
Cool.
And they can click on it.
Lovely. I'd love them to. As you'll understand, I'm a little anxious about this new endeavour, so any feedback or positive affirmation would be much appreciated.
Well, don't tell them, you know, don't just go looking, fishing for compliments.
Well, why not? Don't get them anywhere else in my life. I've got to get something out of this whole endeavour, you know. I'm not getting paid by anyone. You know, I don't know, that's listeners true. Might not realise, but Sam gets... $100,000 per year for doing this show. And all he's given me is a bag of nuts and a limp hand job.
It wasn't even at the same time. It's every six. You got the nuts 6 months in. The limp hand job at Christmas. That was your bonus.
Dear.
If you could have anything this year, Dan, what would you have? A hand job.
Another one.
Please.
I wish it could be Christmas every day.
So that's that. What track do you think stood out for you from my selection, obviously?
Oh, I can't remember any of them now. So long ago. What happened? I think I liked the Twilight Sad the best.
Yeah.
That's the one that kind of... Yeah, that's the one that I'll be following up on, I think.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I think for me, it's probably, yeah, King Lizard and Impenetrable Gizzard.
The Jizzing Wizard.
Yeah.
Check out one, check out two, check out three. Jesus, going wild.
Well, come on, let's not go crazy here.
Yeah. I've
only got a certain amount of time during the day.
Reality of not getting paid is you have to go and work a... soul-destroying job that you hate.
Well, exactly. Rather than just sitting at home, fingering your bum hole and making podcasts. Which I've done 5 times already during the whole conversation, so it's up to the audience to guess where.
This is where you plug your Patreon, isn't it? If you want to pay Sam to finger his bum hole 5 times a day.
It is, yes. Well, thank you for reminding me there. So you can sign up and become a patron. Go to patreon.com/anewwinter. And as I mentioned in the show, I'm going to try and see if I could do 2 episodes a month. That will just be up there. And that will just be, they'll be specific to how I'm feeling at that time. So I'm going to do one on Tron and Tron Legacy. So, look forward to that. And you can follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, email us anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. Dan, how can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Dreadful Discs. And yeah, soon to be on YouTube, Dreadful Discs.
All the dread. But that's it for today. And yeah, let us know what you thought of the tracks and if you thought they were shit and if they were hits and anything else that you may want to, you know, quiz us about. And that's it for the episode today. Thanks very much for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.